hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power, and this is Donna Sebo. Today, we are going to be talking about something that I think is important to just about every woman on the planet. And what is that? That is fashion. Yes. Okay, guys, be patient because you like fashion too. But today we're going to be talking with Tess Whitehurst, magical fashionista. Dress for the life you want. Today is a holiday for so many of you, and many of you are going to have a chance to go out and go shopping. Yes, I know we're getting right into the beginning of the holiday season, but what about investing a little time in yourself to decide about who do you want to be seen as by other people? Having fun with fashion can be really enjoyable instead of stressful. Tess Whitehurst, would you agree?
I would most definitely agree.
Tess, you have a love of fashion, but what's fun about your book, Magical Fashionista, is that you bring into it some of the other aspects of your life that you thoroughly enjoy, and one is being an intuitive counselor, energy worker, you love feng shui, you go into a lot of astrology in the book, the four signs, just so many different aspects you combine here. What made you decide that you wanted to bring in all of these different modalities? Why was this something that you said, I want to integrate this bouillabaisse of magic into the love of being attractive and fashion and style? Why?
What an excellent question. Well, I had a really interesting experience. I had been doing feng shui for some time, practicing professionally. I wrote books about it. And I had been meditating, doing ritual, being interested in crystals and astrology and having a spiritual practice that was in that realm. And I had a realization that my interaction with my body and my self-care practices and fashion was less than joyful, which was a strange thing to realize when I looked at my life path and I saw that everything that I was passionate about, everything that I taught, it was about interacting with the physical world in a spiritual way and seeing that there is the appearance of duality. There's the appearance that there's a seen world and an unseen world, that there's a physical world and a spiritual world. But where the point of power is the place where we see that there is, in fact, no separation, and that when we interact with the physical world in a reverent, conscious way, it can be a window or a doorway into living magically and spiritually and in the present moment.
I have found through the years some thoughts and suggestions that were made to me when I was younger by some very mature, I consider them extremely elegantly dressed women. These were professional women. And I know that this one lady, she stands in my mind so vividly. She must have been about 5'8", and I'm a little short squirt. I'm about 5'1.5". I stretch as much as I can, but that's the max. And here I am, and I've got a very strong body build. I'm short-waisted, and I used to just drool over the images that these taller, willowy women would have. And I remember getting ready to go into work one morning, and my girlfriend and I were talking about all the latest fashions and the hoopla and everything else. And here is this elegantly dressed redhead that turned to me, and she said, my dear, you need to learn something. And that is that fashion goes in and out just like Grand Central Station activity. However, style, when you find what looks good on you, style stays with you all of your life. If you know what looks best on you, you will always look nice. And with that, she proceeded to go into the office and to work. And it resonated with me. I think I was 17 years old. And she just really grabbed my mind by those statements, because to me, when I looked at her, she was just, she's beautifully groomed. Her color coordination, she was just elegant. And a number of the women that I found in my environment were that way. Well, like so many young people, you figure you're going to try anything and everything. But I kept that in mind, and I found there were some things, if I wore them, they would just look like they should have been put on a bag lady. And, you know, it was awful. And I finally came into a level of comfort into my own style. And that takes time. And that's one of the things that you bring out in your book. And I really liked at the beginning where you said, dress for the life you want. Let's talk about that, because a lot of men and women today are really not given any kind of insights as to what's really going to look good on them. And heck, I see a lot of people in positions of recognition publicly, and they look like somebody dumped them in a washing machine and tossed them into the dryer, and they flipped out on the before finish cycle. And you go, okay, what kind of example is this? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, I think that in our culture, the way that fashion is presented to us is that we need to copycat what's in this season, or look at, or even not even over and above fashion, just our appearance in general, how you were talking about you were craving looking like a willowy woman. And we all look different. But in reality, we all look different, but we're all beautiful. And so to start with the knowing that however tall we are, however much we weigh, however old we are, whatever our hair looks like, we are already beautiful. Start with that knowing, and we're windows into the divine. We're physical beings that are actually eternal. So to honor ourselves with that knowing, starting with that knowing, then we can decorate ourselves lovingly. We can truly look at our unique aspects with a love instead of judgment, so that we can find that more eternal style that you, that the redhead was talking to you about, and we can adorn ourselves uniquely rather than just saying, well, you know, satin's in this season or pastels are out, and how can I, you know, make that look good on me? Instead of doing that, really dishonoring ourselves and where we are and how we look. I think that's the energetic piece that is often left out when we're looking at fashion magazines or makeover TV shows or whatnot.
There is a cousin of yours that you mentioned in your book. She's a musician, Emily Whitehurst, and I loved what she said. She said one day she decided on a whim to dress up to go grocery shopping at her local Trader Joe's in the middle of the day, and she decided she put on heels and a dress, and it was totally unlike the way she'd normally go. Most of the time, it's jeans and a T-shirt. That was it. And she said she just loved what happened. People really were just so responsive to her. And she said it was a fun thing to do. It was how she wanted to present herself to others, how she wanted to be seen. That was a wonderful example in your book.
Yeah, I thought so too, and I've had similar experiences myself, and I think that something to kind of think about is that we as humans, we like to be seen. I think that what something that we get, another message we get so many conflicting messages. We get the message that we're supposed to look like, you know, this fashion model, but then on the other hand, oh, we don't want to be too superficial and think too much about our appearance, and why would we be, you know. But the truth is that we all, each of us, we long to be seen and known. And it isn't just, since there is no separation between seen and unseen, when we come to fashion and self-care from a more holistic perspective, we can think of it as an art form, so that the way that we would like to be seen and known and perceived, that we can energetically attune ourselves to that through our fashion choices and just even the way we interact with our bodies when we cleanse it and dress it and just treat it like solid gold.
You bring in so many interesting components in your book, The Magical Fashionista. You brought in Chinese astrology, and you talk about the elements of fire, water, earth, and wood, And this you address, and you go into different components of that. You also say the five elements in yourself, and you ask for someone to pick out five characteristics that indicate certain aspects of who they are. And this really can be a lot of fun. It would be a great task if a bunch of gals got together and said, ooh, let's do this together. How do you see me and how do I see you? And not from a space of criticism, but from a space of observation. Your book would be a wonderful tool for for gals to get together, and even some guys. I think that men could actually, I know this is going to be more of a female perspective, but I think sometimes men need to be able to look at, for example, the use of colors. And I know it took me the longest time to convince my husband that the color red was just absolutely dynamic and powerful on him. And it's like, no, blue and brown, that's it. And I went, excuse me? And then I went and I bought him an orange shirt. It was a particular shade of orange. And most people would probably hear this, male or female, and their ears would curl. Orange? You've got to be kidding. It looked awesome on him. He got so many compliments on that particular shirt. So it was a daring wife that said, try it. You'll like it. I think this is something many times we're afraid to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and women, not all women, but there's a feminine aspect, part of the feminine essence is more sensual and more tuned into color and texture, and men can also benefit from it. We all have both masculine and feminine qualities within us, and it sounds like your husband benefited from your feminine way of looking at color.
He did, but I'll guarantee you, he still fights it. Because it's so locked in. It's just that substance. And I just love to see color, men wearing color. Because I just think if they use those colors that are compatible with them, just like with women, it's just absolutely awesome. I know that as women, it is so easy if you are dressing for your professional environment and you are dressing for at home. And so many people, and I have done this, you're exhausted, you're tired, you put on a pair of sloppy pants, a sloppy shirt, and you just go, oh, I'm laid back. There's a funny thing about that. When you dress, and when I don't mean you have to put on silk high heels and this type of thing, but when you dress yourself well, attractively, it can shift the mood so fast it's not even funny. Has that been your experience? I know you addressed that in the book.
Very much so. And since I have been working with this information and just bringing it to the front of my consciousness that I can interact with my body in a spiritual, loving, conscious, magical way, since I have been doing that, I even choose my pajama outfits. I think, well, I'm in the mood for this or this, and I make sure to look for pajamas that are comfortable and also help me to feel beautiful in my home and sort of having my energy in a more refined way in my home, a more clear and focused way. Or even when I clean house, it wasn't expensive, but I found this beautiful vintage 1950s apron that I wear when I clean, and I tie a scarf over my head, and it's fun. It makes cleaning, so now I'm not, like you said, schlepping around while I'm cleaning. I'm feeling beautiful when I'm cleaning. I mean, it's okay if I get stuff on my apron, I'll just throw it in the washing machine. But it's a little more fun.
I notice that when I just am observing people, and I do this at the grocery store or anywhere, you can do it anywhere, you just watch people and how they carry themselves, and you watch how they're dressed. People who take time, male or female, to dress nicely. Again, they don't have to be in minks and diamonds and this type of thing. But, I mean, they really have dressed nicely for wherever they are. They have a different posture. You look at them. Their head is up. Their eyes often are sparkling, and they're looking around, and they have a quick smile frequently that they'll share. And you look at the others, and I have seen this. Oh, I see this with so many women, especially. men don't seem to be as bad, but they've gotten pretty sloppy in some respects. But women, when they're dressed in dark, dingy, unkept clothes, usually they look the same. Their hair is unkempt. It just seems to go through the whole self, and it just has a big impact on them.
Yes, most definitely. And as we know, we manifest what we're, the way that we feel has everything to do with what we're manifesting in our lives. So, and this is a principle of feng shui, that if in your home, you don't have to make extensive changes, but if you make a few changes so that your home feels a little bit more affluent for you, say maybe make sure that your front door doesn't stick, you could give your front door a paint job, you could get a new bath mat, just to make you just little subtle things to give you the message that you're more affluent, that will have a lot to do with what you're experiencing in the physical world and manifesting abundance. And it's the same with your clothing, if not even a little bit more so. When you're out in the world, if you feel together, if you feel affluent, not necessarily wearing expensive things, but things that feel expensive or feel put together, then you will be much more likely to manifest abundance in all sorts of ways. People will feel more confident in you. You will feel more confident in yourself, and doors of opportunity will be open.
I concur. It really does make a difference. Now, you go into so many different aspects, and I love the exercises that you have in the book. I think anyone would benefit from it. But you had a section on pants, slacks. This is something, and I'll use the term slacks, but this is relatively new in our cultural environment. When you go back into history, my goodness, the Mongols women had been wearing pants for a long time back then. And it wasn't until really World War II when women, because they had to adapt to working conditions, the guys were off fighting a war, the women were in the industry, and so pants came into norm because it was a lot more comfortable and easy to work with. But I don't think it was until the 70s until the pants were actually allowed in the workplace. Am I correct?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I'm sure I probably read it at some point in my research, but I couldn't say for sure.
You say when women wear pants, slacks, they're more grounded. And I think in business, that has often been the perception.
Well, it can be a tool of grounding. I mean, I think you could also find a way to feel definitely grounded in a dress or a skirt. But I do talk about it in my book as a way to look at how you feel grounded, how you feel connected to the earth, and kind of rooted. So, yeah, it's not the only way to feel rooted, but it would be a way to.
You bring out some information, too, regarding the use of scarves. And, boy, I can remember, I never thought, because I'm petite, I never thought that I could really utilize scarves well until I started experimenting. And I took what was a basic navy blue suit, and I could change it on a business trip. That's one of the reasons I started using scarves, because I could change my scarf every day and have a whole new look, maybe a little bit of difference in jewelry. And I could travel with this one outfit, and it basically was adaptable and workable for my entire trip, and I had a new look every day. This is something that I think is a very inexpensive way for a woman to complement her wardrobe. A scarf for a man would be a tie, but for a woman, this can be magic. Let's talk about that, because there's certain cultures that utilize this frequently.
Difference, yes, and I love economy in stuff. I'm really, in the first chapter, I talk about clearing closet clutter. In all my books, I talk about clearing clutter because it's such an amazing spiritual act. Since everything is connected, when you let go of things, extras in the physical realm, you create more space for opportunity and clarity. And one of the ways to clear clutter is to economize your wardrobe and have essentially sort of like a capsule wardrobe, or have your anchoring pieces, your essentials, And then you can vary your look with things like you said, like scarves or jewelry or maybe a different pair of shoes. But I think in our culture, we have gotten to be a little bit over the top with how much pressure we put on ourselves to have a new outfit every day. In France, the women are so elegant, and their wardrobes are much smaller, and there's much less of a stigma attached to wearing the same thing, you know, maybe twice a week, you know, shopping. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. they'll get really nice stuff, you know, instead of getting a bunch of cheap stuff, they'll get really nice core pieces and then vary the look with the colors of their scarves or their earrings or things like that.
And I think that's marvelous. And again, you've got so many wonderful tips inside your book. Now, you have a section called The Three Secrets, and this has to do with Tibetan feng shui. And it's the Three Secrets Empowerment. Tell us how you found out about that and how you use it.
Well, as a feng shui consultant, this is taught by Professor Lin Yun, who is the founder of the Black Hat sect of feng shui. But it's essentially a core practice of a number of spiritual disciplines. You can even find something similar in yoga. And what it is the three secrets are gesture, vocalization, and visualization. So the idea is, if you take these three things, a gesture such as a mudra, maybe prayer pose, maybe a pointed finger or some kind of movement, a visualization of what you want to experience as if it's already true, and a vocalization, so something like a mantra or an affirmation. If you take these three things and you put them together, it's a concentrated amount of spiritual magical power that you're generating. And so it's useful for empowering things in the physical world with spiritual or magical significance. So you can do this with your wardrobe in that, for example, if you have a scarf, you could lay your scarf out on your bed, and if you wanted to empower it with the intention to attract romance, let's say, you know, maybe it's a pink or a red scarf, so it has the vibration of romance. Lay it out on your bed, think of what you want to experience and feel, and of course, don't visualize anyone specific if you're manifesting romance, just the feeling of romance. Leave it up to the universe how and who it would be. So you feel the feeling of being in love. You could do the heart calming mudra. So, and I have that in my book where you just hold your hands open and touch your thumbs and relax. And then maybe you could do an affirmation or a mantra, like aham prema means I am divine love. So you could say aham prema 9 times or 3 times, whatever feels powerful. And then this feeling that you've generated, this energy that you've generated, and just with your, from a feeling place rather than a thinking place, you would direct this energy into the scarf. Maybe you could even kind of see it in your mind's eye as light going in, filling the scarf, letting the scarf glow with this light, and then wear a scarf. And so then you have a magical, not just a scarf, but a magical charm of a scarf.
You talk about the use of color. And this is so significant. We've touched on it a little bit. You talk about the power palette. Let's go into that, because I think so many times we're afraid to use color, as we were discussing just a moment ago. Let's address that.
Okay, well, I think one of the things I talk about a little bit earlier in the book is looking at yourself like a work of art. So instead of thinking, okay, yellow's in this season, I got to find a yellow dress, you look in the mirror and you look at your colors. Look at the colors in your skin, the undertones, even the colors of your veins. Is it purple? Is it a warmer blue? The colors in your eyes, your hair. And then in the tones, the subtle tones. And then start to notice also what colors, when you try them on, when you wear them, you really feel good in. I mean, for example, I've had shirts or dresses over the years that I loved on the hanger, but when I wore them, I just looked washed out or I didn't feel great. It didn't enhance my energy or my appearance to wear those colors. So keep an eye out for the subtle differences in tones of color that make you feel better and that seem to go with your appearance. And then once you do, you can start to look. I talk about the metaphysical properties of various colors, but everyone is different. So you might start with that understanding as a template of just sort of the basic meanings of the colors, and then use that as a window in to see how do you feel when you wear red or when you wear plum or when you wear this particular shade of burgundy. And then you could even go get some paint, little paint samples from Home Depot or something, and create your own little key so that, you know, maybe when you wear this color plum, that's your feeling of love, or when you wear this color pink, that's your feeling of softness and receptivity, openness. You know, you can have this little power palette, and you can put it in your closet and use it as a magical jumping off point for your wardrobe.
Another thing about color is as we grow older, many times our skin tones change and our hair tones will change. And we wonder, gee whiz, why is it I put this on now and it just doesn't look good? I absolutely loved it. And I think that there are those subtle changes that can occur, and various circumstances can contribute to that. But I think being aware, being mindful of ourselves in those changes can really be liberating. Maybe when a person was in their 20s, they couldn't wear a certain color, but when they're in their 50s or 60s, they can. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The changes.
I love that. Yeah,
that,
I'm right with you on
adapt.
That.
I really think it's marvelous.
Me too. And I love what you're saying about staying conscious, because that's a principle that is in anytime you're interacting with the physical world in a conscious way, through feng shui, through fashion, through art. I think it's really important to be conscious of change, because everything is always changing. You're changing. The seasons are changing. The spirit of the era is changing. So to be conscious and awake to that, and I love using things like fashion as a tool to stay awake to that.
You also go into your book, The Magical Fashionista Test, you also address self-care. And I think that one of the things that makes a woman very beautiful, a man very handsome, is when they do take care of themselves. I don't care what their age is. I have a gift of a friend who is 94 years young. She is exquisite. I mean exquisite. I look at her and I go, my goodness, when I'm 94, I want to look as good as you do, because she just radiates. She is just absolutely gorgeous. She is, in my view, an example of how a woman, regardless of her age, exhibits a beauty, an essence. But she takes care of herself. She has learned through many years of not doing it when she was much younger that you'd have to do it. And she really started when she got into her 60s. And here she is now, 94 years young. And I'm just astonished. Because most of the time you hear someone in their 90s, you figure out they're going to be decrepit. All their teeth are going to be gone, hardly have any hair. They're going to look like something that is just a shriveled prune. She doesn't.
Yeah,
at 94 years of age.
And that goes hand in hand. Her taking care of herself in that way, I can only imagine, goes hand in hand with her deciding to love herself and to feel beautiful exactly as she is, so that when she does do her self-care, it's not out of, oh, I've got to take care of myself so I don't look so terrible. It's out of, oh, I love myself, I'm beautiful, I'm radiant. I'm going to use these self-care practices as a way to honor that radiance so that it fuels that sense of radiance. Because we all know, when you really think, when you look back on all the people you've ever seen that have really impressed you with how deeply, authentically beautiful they are, it's not because they look like someone in a magazine. That's not what it is. It's that they know they're beautiful, that they love themselves, and that they're confidently, in a grounded way, radiating that self-love and that confidence. That's what beauty is.
I agree. Tess Whitehurst, on this day today, I just think it's delightful to chat, to start off with a wonderful attitude about recognizing the beauty within. Your book, Magical Fashionista, goes a long way towards doing that. I think it's fun. I think some gals could get together with this and just have a blast at discovering and maybe reinventing themselves in a wonderful way. You've done a good job with this. Dressing for the life you want, and this is on multiple levels. Tess Whitehurst has been my guest. You can check out her website, Tess tesswhitehurst.com, and that's TESSWHITEHURST.com. Tess, thank you for being my guest today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This has been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. Check out Magical Fashionista. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to share.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I hope you're enjoying this holiday today, and to all of those of you that are celebrating this Veterans Day, I wish you the best, and more than that, for those of you who are veterans, I wish you the best as well, and we appreciate what you have done to enable us to maintain and to be where we are today, and with freedoms and other things as well. This is a month for giving thanks, and we'll be hearing that theme often during the month of November. And Ellen Hopkins made a statement. She said, sometimes the little things in life mean the most. And I would agree with her. Do you know, it sometimes it's just good to take a moment, just whatever you're doing, and think about all of the wonderful things that are around you. If you're sitting in at work and you are involved, just think of the computer that enables you to do things that maybe would have taken you a lot longer. There's ways of communicating with people. I think how we take for granted today that we can communicate in seconds with the technology we've got. We have so many ways of communicating, written, audio. There's just so many different ways that we can reach out and touch each other's lives. And I think that that is especially incredible. And what I wanted to do, I almost forgot, phone lines are open, 888-627-6008. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat, 888-627-6008. And for those of you that might be a new listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. So today, again, open mic, 888-627-6008. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the fall of the alphas. Dana Arty is going to be my guest. This is fascinating material. We're going to be going into the history of the corporate environment and how it is changing. That's right, big time changes. Why? Necessity. If you don't make the change, you're going to find yourself really being in a box that you may not ever be able to get out of. Also, we're going to be talking this week about Safe Beyond Belief. Margaret Johnson is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about the On Message with Jacques Friend, and then the Sacred Journey of the Heart with Rana Prince. And don't forget, you can always check out about the guests, check in on the guests that are coming up and what we are going to be discussing. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a whole lot more. Good people with good messages. When we were talking earlier with Tess, Believing in yourself is very important, and there's a senator, Joseph Lieberman, that made a statement about this. He said the key is everybody should. And he said, as far as he was concerned, he got a lot of believing in himself from his parents because they had a lot of confidence in him. And they imbued him with the understanding that if he worked hard, he could achieve what he wanted to achieve. And if you really believe in something, honor it and stick with it. And he said another thing that his parents gave him was faith. He said, they said, you are part of this magnificent experience of life, and you are a divine creation. You have a responsibility to make the world better. And he said that was a motivating factor for him. He said, if you feel your existence here is no accident, it helps you to believe in yourself, even if you fail, as you are going to fail. Gee, who likes to hear that? We all like to fall in love with the idea that all of these people that have enjoyed success that we hear about or we see on television, boy, what a magic they had. They never had to go through any disappointments or failures. That is a downright lie, because we all do. There's no one that is successful, in my professional experience anyway, and life experience, that hasn't been kicked in the teeth in one way or another, mentally, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. And he said, it's not an accident that you're here. And when you believe in yourself, it's important. He said, I lost a big primary I ran in. And I said, okay, I don't particularly like this environment I've been in. I'm going to change. And it worked out. The change worked out. Sometimes life, just like with Senator Joseph Lieberman, can be very disappointing, or what you think fits you appropriately, it doesn't. And change is in the air. That is something I think that is one of the biggest challenges that we as people encounter. We wonder, why is it we can't find the one and only something, so we never have to worry about change again? It's just life. I really don't know why we are indoctrinated to think that life is going to be solid and never is going to change. It's just like a working environment. I think of my grandfather. My grandfather, when he was growing up on a farm in Virginia, basically, that was their lifestyle. There weren't a whole bunch of options when he was growing up in the early 1900s. By the time he went into World War I, came out of that, he was over in Belgium and served over there. By the time he came out of that experience, he knew that he had to do something else. Now, my grandfather only had a third grade education. That's right, third grade education. He self-educated himself, and he went to work for the railroads. Now, at that time, the railroad was a significant employer. It is still today, but it's much different. In his time, he was able to go into that environment, and they were open to educating him. Though he only had a third grade education, he was able to learn. He was willing to learn. He opened himself up to learning. And he worked his way up to a position of being a supervisor. One of my fond memories about my grandfather is him sitting at our kitchen table when he was visiting from Virginia. We lived in California, and he had a cup of coffee. He'd always pour the coffee into his saucer and drink out of the saucer. And I can remember as a little girl thinking, what is he doing that for? Isn't that considered rude? Until later on I learned. And working on the railroad, the reason he poured the coffee into the saucer so that it would cool down, because he only had a few minutes at a time for a break with the trains coming in and out all the time. He ended up becoming a superb master craftsman. He learned from everyone around him. He had to adapt to change. When he was forcibly retired at the age of 55, what happened to him, and he was forcibly retired because men were not supposed to live beyond 60. The average age of a male, what was it, back in the 40s, I think, was or 50s, you were lucky if you made it to 55 or 60. Well, he ended up living to 85, so he had to reinvent himself. He had to come up with something new. What did he do? Well, for his environment, because he was skilled as a craftsman, he became a handyman. He started solving problems for other people. All of his skills that he had utilized in working and developing through his years of being within the railroad industry, he used until the end of his life. He was not a lazy person, and he lived long, long, long time past the expiration date that was supposedly stamped on his retirement papers. Change was going on in his life, and today change happens even more quickly. So just be aware that wherever you are, if change is happening, just say, okay, that's the case. How can I work with this change? What can I do with this change? How can I make this change work for me? I don't care who you are. It's going to be a challenge, and you may have to ask a lot of people. You might have to make inquiries. You never know how it is going to work out for you. Be open to the change. Be open to the fact that this may be a golden opportunity that you never would have imagined in a million years. It's going to give you an opportunity to step into a greater part of yourself and a greater part of life's experience. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. In 1975, there was a Frederick family. They lived in Ayersville, Ohio, and it was on July the 9th. They found themselves getting soaked. Mm-hmm. Water was coming. They didn't know from where. It was on top of their television, shelves, their bookshelves. It was on top of bedroom headboards. Water appeared in the fireplace, of all things. It was running down drapes and flowed out of the piano keys. This would happen all of a sudden, very quietly and without warning. What would you do? First thing you think of, right, a pipe broke. Well, that's what Mrs. Frederick thought. She would get out towels, and she said, I'd watch this water form right in front of my eyes. She said, it would happen, and I'd become aware of it. It was when I wasn't looking. They called it a fluid phenomena. First, they found their kitchen floor covered with water. And for the next 6 days, they didn't sleep very much because a lot of people were becoming aware of this unique fluid phenomena, and they searched the house. They checked the pipes. Nope. He said, one man said, he was there in the house, and he said, I'd open one of the cabinet drawers, and he said, it'd be filled with water. He said, I picked up a rug with an 81-inch wet spot, but the floor was dry. How come the carpet be wet and the floor not be wet? He said, it was weird. No leaks were ever found. Ceilings and walls remained dry throughout this phenomenon. Has this happened before? Mm-hmm. There is recorded in 1873 in Lancashire, England, rain coming down inside of a house for the elderly. The ceiling, however, stayed dry. In 1955 in Vermont, the Waterman's family furniture, constantly covered with moisture, they ended up sponging 13 buckets of water off of their belongings in 2 days. A dish that had grapes in it. Someone was carrying the dish into another room. It filled with water. 1963, a Martin family, Massachusetts. Water spurting from walls and ceilings. It followed them when they moved out of the house that this was happening in. They moved into a different house. Same thing happened. In 1972, Sardinia, Italy. A 9-year-old little boy was moved 5 times as large amounts of water surrounded the floor around his bed. The fluid phenomena. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. We'll be back in just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top-of-the-line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hello, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. This past weekend, I had the delightful experience of going to a friend's business, and she's in the spice industry, and she has an annual sale every year. Oh, my goodness, the place was just packed. And spices make such a difference in our foods. Not only can they add color, but it's the fragrance and the flavors that just absolutely make your palate sing. And when I was there, I was looking at all kinds of wonderful, wonderful spices, and everything just was smelling so good. And she had this wonderful array of tangy spices that have a bite to them, and it's something you'd use like in Mexican food. And I thought, this is something, especially with the colder weather, that just is magical when it comes to creating something that is good in flavor, good for you. And I thought of a soup. There's a restaurant up in Anchorage, Alaska, that every time I am there, I make a point of stopping in and having a soup that they prepare, which is a chicken tortilla soup. I love it. I mean, I get a bowl of it, and it is absolutely wonderful taste-wise, spicy, just absolutely delicious. And I came across this recipe, and I thought, this is something I'd love to share because the weather's perfect for this. And a loaf of crusty, freshly baked bread, and a nice salad, and a dessert of choosing would go wonderfully. A flan, a custard like a flan, Mexican flan, would go deliciously with this soup. But I wanted to share this with you because it really does make a difference. And you can try different types of chili powders. There's so many wonderful arrays out there. But this is how you fix it. And you could put this in a crock pot, by the way. So if you're busy, you just set up everything in the crock pot, let it do its job while you're at the work and environment, and then you can bring it home. And it's great as a leftover. If you fix a large batch, then you can always freeze portions of it and pass it along. 2 tablespoons of oil are needed. You're going to need 1 each of red, green, and yellow peppers. You want to seed them, and you want to coarsely chop them. And if you can't find yellow peppers, depending on where you are in the country, or if you're like us in the Pacific Northwest, the red peppers are on sale, and they're sweet. They're just wonderful. And you can get, there's just so many wonderful buys. Check your local farmers markets and find out what really is going to be in season. And you need 2 medium sweet onions, such as a Vidalia onion or a Walla Walla sweet if you have those. You're going to need 4 cloves of garlic, and you want to chop those up. So there you go. 2 tablespoons of oil. You need 3 peppers, red, green, and yellow. and you need 2 sweet onions, the garlic. You're going to need 2 tablespoons of chili powder. Ah, is your mouth burning when you hear that? 2 tablespoons and 2 teaspoons of ground cumin. Yes, a different type of flavor. And you can use 1/4 cup of chicken broth, or if you're one of the daring and you really want to do something unique, 1/4 cup of tequila. Yes. You're going to need, in addition to that, 4 cups of your favorite chicken broth, homemade or canned, whatever you prefer, 3 cups of shredded cooked chicken. And a friend of mine, who is a wonderful cook, she goes to a local box store and gets her rotisserie chicken. And she said, I take all the meat off. And she said, I've got enough meat for 3 or 4 meals, sometimes more. And she said, it's so convenient and so easy. And then just bag up the shredded chicken. I put the amount I've got on there, whether it's 1/4 pound or 1/4 pound or whatever it is. And she said, I freeze it. So when I want to make a dish quickly, I can do that. I'm just sharing that is a Mary's tip that Donna is passing along. 3 cups of shredded cooked chicken. You need 1 can of chopped tomatoes, and they should be drained. You need some fried corn tortilla strips, and you can make those yourself, or just, if you're lazy like me, you just buy them. And 1/4 cup of grated Colby or Monterey Jack cheese, and then 1/3 cup of chopped fresh cilantro. And if you like avocado, avocado is a wonderful garnish for this. Now, this is what you do. In a large skillet, you take your oil, put it in there, and over medium-high heat, you put in your peppers, your onions, and you cook them, stirring until they're softened, about 2 minutes. You then take your spices, the garlic, chili powder, and cumin, toss it in, add that 1/4 cup of broth or tequila, and what you want to do is cook it until it's almost evaporated, and that'll happen fairly quickly. Then you put your pepper mixture into your crock pot or a Dutch oven if you wanted to put it in an oven and leave it there all day, whatever you choose. A crock pot is optimum, however, 5 to 7 quarts. And you're going to add your broth, your chicken, your tomatoes. You cover it, let it cook on high for 3 to 4 hours or on low for 7 to 8. Then you season it as you want with salt and pepper. Let the guests season it themselves. And you put your tortilla strips in the bowls, put in the soup, and serve with your cheese, cilantro, and avocado garnish. And if you really want to put the bite a little bit stronger, all you have to do is add a little bit of your Mexican cheese. You can do that. That adds another bite. And this is just absolutely marvelous. It's just so good. And you can make a special garnish, if you like, of 1 avocado. You seed it, peel it, and chop it. 1/2 cup of frozen corn kernels or fresh corn kernels. And 1/4 cup of chopped scallions, 2 tablespoons of fresh lime juice, and 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh cilantro. And you can mix all of that together. You can cover it if you need to keep it and refrigerate it for up to 4 hours. But it's something that's meant to be consumed. That's a particular kind of a salsa that can go into the soup as well. Delicious. And you know what? This is the type of soup that gets better with each day. I know that we're running out of time here. This is Donna Sebo. This week we're going to be sharing with you how you can use your phone as a moneymaker and so much more. And if you're getting ready for the Big T holiday, well, just keep your eyes open for some specials. That's right. There's a lot of things going on sale right now, at least in my neighborhood. And you can stock up early and be prepared for that big day of Thanksgiving that's going to be coming up, and I'll be sharing some tips with you on some upcoming shows. That and a lot more is going to be at the Donna Sebo Broadcasting Table. And I'm so delighted you've been able to join me today. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, dress for your moment. Take time to invest in yourself and feel good. When you walk out of your front door, going to work, going jogging, whatever, look good. You can dress nicely and attractively and just hold your head up and have an awareness that you are a gift in this experience of life. So don't be afraid to reach out and greet the day with enthusiasm. Know that something magical is going to happen today. This is a day of unlimited blessings for you, yours, and everyone that you come in contact with. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.